I do want to say this, and I've told Vicki this a few times, and after listening to Bill this morning, you'll agree, maybe you will. I tell Vicki this all the time, I want to be Bill Perry when I grow up. There is an uncommon compassion that we need to have as Christians. And, you know, as Dick said, you know, there's a gift that exists to share the love of Christ in a Christ-like way. And Bill and others embody that and exemplify that gift. And it is the gift, as God has told us, and as Paul tells in the Colossian letter, in Colossians 3 and 12 specifically, to clothe yourself with compassion and kindness. And there is an uncommon compassion that needs to exist more often and in more abundance within the body of Christ. And, you know, because the reality is, and Bill can tell you this from his experience, that poverty can be very stressful. And poverty can be very miserable, and it can be very isolating. And regardless of the circumstances, because you see, the gift that I have to fight back in me is the gift to tell people what they ought to be doing with their lives so that they're not in that situation. And so Bill doesn't have to listen to the story. That's my gift. And I want to get rid of that gift, because that's not a very Christ-like gift to have. Because so often people put themselves in a situation that contributes to their need, and you know, and we feel justified and say, well, you know, you need to be better and do better and work harder and all. But if that were the case, then we wouldn't have such an opportunity to be Christ-like. See, we can look at it any way we want to, but I would much rather be compassionate. Because that's how I see, that's what I read Christ being. See, the fact of the matter is that so many people that we see on a weekly basis that Bill so Christ-likely deals with, they don't want to be there. They just don't know how not to be. I mean, they really don't. They just don't know how not to be there. And yeah, they're caught in all kinds of vicious cycles and just destructive behavior. But it's stressful, and it's miserable, and it's isolating. And if all we can do is, without judging and compassionately, give them a little bit, then they experienced God that day. They experienced the love of Christ. Because I put myself in a position every day to take advantage of the merciful, compassionate, never-ending grace of God. And I take Him for granted, and I take advantage of Him, and every day He's back. Every day He's back with a handout, with a grace and mercy handout. And this week, as we talk about Thanksgiving, and I want to talk about not necessarily being thankful for. Because as we count our blessings, as we should, and as church signs all across the city, this town today and this week have talked about, count your blessings and name them one by one. And as we've sung about, and it's very important, and we should, and we all the time before us should lay before us all of the things that we have and all that we possess and all that we control. And we should continually give thanks to God for all of that that makes our lives, or in our, at least in our perception anyway, the things that make our lives easier. And there's a whole sermon about what we call blessings could be not so blessingful because of all of the stress that comes along with ownership and from controlling. Because the more that I have, and the more that I control, and the more that I amass, well, now the more that I have to take care of. And we all know how stressful that can be. You know, we thank God a lot of times for our automobiles, and, you know, it's hard to thank God for an automobile when you got to take it to the shop. But that's what happens to those things. But the more that we have, the more that we have to take care of. And that can be stressful. So this morning, although I believe it's biblical and important and a discipline to be thankful for, this morning I want to not be thankful for, but be thankful because of. And if you'll look in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, that's going to be our text this morning. Because in Hebrews 12 and 28, he says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God in reverence and in awe." And this morning, I love that idea. And this past week and the week before that, I've been thinking about and just dwelling on and meditating on the idea of let us be thankful because of the circumstances that we find our lives, not our physical lives as such, but the circumstances that we find our spiritual life, namely that kingdom that he's talking about. We'll get to that more later. But I love Hebrews chapter 12 because it's kind of that therefore chapter. You know, and every time I want to be not only a student of the Bible, but a student of Bible study and all of the tools and everything that's available. And I like repetition and I like picking up on the patterns. And you guys know this because I bring it out as often as possible because I want, if I can do anything as far as teaching, it's to teach us how to get more and more out of Scripture. And so if you look at this right here, this one chapter, you have three instances where the word therefore shows up, and it's such an important word. And every time the word therefore shows up in Scripture, circle it and start digging around it. One of the things that I learned this week as we spent some time on the beach in Gulf Shores is that the beach is great and the ocean is remarkable, and you know, just the Gulf is remarkable. And I've heard that there's an uncountable number of the colors green, and I don't know, I couldn't count that many, but there's a lot of colors out there. But I learned that that experiencing the beach is one thing, but when you start digging in it, well, that's really when the adventure begins, because there's so much that's buried. There's so much that you can unearth, not only little critters, but shells and things left behind. And Scripture's a lot like that. You can just experience it, but the more you dig, the more the adventure really begins, and the more you find, and the more mystery that you uncover. And so this morning, as we look at Hebrews 12 and 1, there's a therefore. There's a therefore that's impacted with so much. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." You see, the writer just got through talking about all of these people of faith. All of these, you know, because of the faith of Moses, because of the faith of Noah, because of the faith of Abel and so many others that came before us, because of all of this faith, and we have this great cloud of witnesses to witness to us and to tell us that this is what life looks like, dependent solely on God, trusting in God, not trusting what we see, but trusting what God tells us in His promises. And since we have that cloud of witnesses, He goes on to tell us some things. And He says in verse 12, "Therefore," again, He says, "Therefore strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees and make level paths for your feet." He talks about the struggle and the discipline and all that comes in this life of this life that Christ has lived for us and that God is calling us to live. And he says, "Therefore, because of all that is coming before you and all that you'll live through, strengthen yourself." And then Hebrews 12 and 28, "Therefore, we should be thankful because of what we have." So this morning, I want to take a minute and look at, first of all, this great cloud of witnesses. You know, that add to the circumstances, that add to the circumstances with which our spirit can be thankful. I want to talk about, you know, what this great cloud of witnesses does for us. He says, "Throw off what hinders and what entangles us." He says that because of, you know, within the spiritual reality that we ought to be thankful for. Within the reality that we can live within, he says, we have this great cloud of people who have come before us and shown us what it can be like. He says, then stay away from something. Stay away from what hinders us and what entangles us. Everything that hinders is sin, and it easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. He says there are circumstances that we should avoid. And circumstances not that we should avoid just for because we've come up with this great idea, but there are circumstances that we should avoid because those who have come before us have set the example. He says we can be thankful for that. So we can be thankful. It all leads up to the circumstance that we can be thankful for. He goes on to talk about in verse 12. He says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. What's he talking about? He's talking about from verse 4 on through verse 11. He says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Then he goes on down to say, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? And then he gets to, therefore, strengthen your weak knees. And that's out of Isaiah 35 and 3, where he says, look, there are those who are redeemed. There are those who are experiencing Zion, the place where the kingdom of God meets the kingdom of this world. And in Isaiah chapter 35, the desert and the parched land will be glad. Very back row. Would you help me out, brother? The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wickedness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, and the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. He's saying, there's this life that we're called to live. And it gets tough sometimes. And there's all of these obstacles that will come in our way, but live a certain way so that we don't put these obstacles in our own way. He says, look, the life that Christ is calling you to live it's a struggle. At best, it's a struggle. Because what he's talked about already in Hebrews chapter 12 is like, look, it's a difficult, difficult life living how Christ has called us to live. And we've got all of these people who have shown us what it looks like to live it and live it to the fullest. So be thankful in that situation, in that circumstance. And then he says, and it's going to be tough. It wasn't easy for them, and it's not going to be easy for us. So look to Christ. Strengthen up your weak knees and your feeble arms because, things are going to be difficult. And we have this purpose. We have this purpose that God has given us, and he's going to discipline us along the way. And God disciplines those he loves, and we see hardships as discipline, not punishment. How many times do we encounter obstacles? How many times do we encounter difficulties and all kinds of, whether it's avoiding sin as a hardship or whether it's just life doesn't happen the way that we want it to. And we think, well, what have I done? Why is God treating me this way? And he says, he's not treating you any certain way other than as a son or a daughter dearly loved. See the hardships that come our way as discipline, not punishment. And be thankful for those because we have this higher purpose that God is calling us to, showing the rest of the world that Christ does matter. He does have the power to change. And then we get to the last, therefore, in chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, what comes before that? Verse 18, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched. It's burning with fire. You've not come to this mountain that's of darkness. You've not come to a mountain of gloom and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that the ones who hear it beg. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about when the children of Israel come to the mountain of God and they experience God, and it's something that they don't want to experience. Have you ever thought about God in that way? It's really something I don't want to experience. See, the children of Israel, they were the foot of that mountain, and Moses comes and he tells them these things, and they don't want to. It's too much for them to hear. It's too much for them to bear, because, well, they're of this earthly kingdom that can be shaken. But you see, we have Christ. We're a part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We're a part of a reality that understands experiencing God. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the idea can be terrifying, can't it? The idea of being face to face with God, face to face with the Almighty, face to face with pure holiness in our state, and they proved it, that cloud of witnesses that he's talking about, they proved it can be terrifying. Those people didn't want to hear anymore, and they couldn't look at Moses with his face glowing. They couldn't be there for it. It was too much for them. The reality of God was terrifying. And it is, because without perfect holiness, the presence of God is terrifying. But what he's talking about, we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the presence of God, because of Christ, we don't have to be terrified. In the presence of God, because of Christ, we don't have to be alarmed or afraid. We don't have to run. We don't have to say, please, don't tell me anymore. I can't hear it. Because of Christ, what we can say, thankfully, is tell me more. Tell me as much as possible. I want to know as much about God. I want to experience as much of God as is possible. And we can be thankful for that. We can be thankful in the circumstance of our life, living in a city that cannot be shaken, in an eternal city, in an eternal reality. And he says that thankful equals worship. Let us be thankful. And because of our thankfulness, because of being thankful in this circumstance, because of being thankful in this reality of life, let us worship. Worship God acceptably. And he doesn't talk about what we do, but he talks about how we do it. He says, do it in reverence. Be thankful for the reality that is our life in this unshakable kingdom, in this tell me more, I can accept the presence of God because of the complete and total holiness of Christ. I don't have to be terrified in His presence. I can be joyful. I can be excited. I can be perfect and holy. And my worship is in reverence. My attitude is one of awe. And he goes on in verse 29 to say, and this is out of Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24, when he says, our God is a consuming fire. And you think, well, that's kind of terrifying again, Shane. But it's the consuming fire of God. What that does is it burns up all that is set in opposition to God. So in a lot of ways, our perspective of this should be all that is in opposition to God will be consumed by fire. Our God is a consuming fire that will annihilate and take away and remove all that is set in opposition to Him. Now, I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I wouldn't say that on my own merit that I am anywhere close to holy at all. But I know this one thing. I know this one thing, and that is in my heart, I am not set in opposition to God. Do I fail? Absolutely. Do I sin? I do. Do I do things that I wish I hadn't done? Do I fall short of His glory? Absolutely. But I know that I am not in opposition to Him. I'm not His enemy. So everything that entangles me, everything that trips me, everything that comes between me and God, it will be taken away. And all that will be left is me and Him. He and I. Something like that. The two of us. I'm thankful for that. So where do you stand in your relationship with Him? We're not talking about being perfect. We're not talking about doing everything right and living up to an impossible standard. We're just saying, He said, look, are you in opposition to Him? Because be thankful and worship Him because He's a consuming fire and everything in opposition to Him will be taken away. Well, that's not me. It's not you either. So there's coming a time when everything that hinders the relationship that we want, that perfect, unfiltered, the relationship that we want, it'll be possible. And we can be thankful because of that, in those circumstances. You see, stuff's going to come and go. Relationships will be one thing, and then the blessings, they'll come and go. But the circumstances of living and existing and having a relationship with God in an unshakable, eternal city is one in which we can truly be thankful and we can truly worship in reverence and in awe. This morning, as you consider all that we have, as you consider all the opportunities that exist living this American dream, living here in Tullahoma in 2011, all of the privilege and all of the comforts. Can we be thankful within one comfort? And that is the unshakable city that God has provided, that we have the privilege of living in. This morning, you might want to be a part of that. You might want to confess Christ this morning and say, I want to be a part of it. I want to join that great cloud of witnesses. I want to be one of those sons, one of those daughters that's disciplined, that's lifted up, that's called out for a purpose. I want to be a part of that. You can be thankful for the exact same circumstances this morning. Confess His name and be baptized this morning and have the rest of your life to live in that eternal, unshakable city. Whatever your need is this morning, as we give thanks to God, would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing.